John chapter 3, one of the great chapters in the Bible. Before I get started to speak this morning, I wanted to welcome back Brian Arrowood. We're glad you're here home. He's been in the military overseas for many months, and you make sure you let our military know we appreciate them. Harm's way for a long time, and I'm glad he's back. And we appreciate what you're doing for us. Lord bless you. I know his wife is glad to have him home. It's great to see her back smiling again. Not that she wasn't smiling, but she wasn't smiling because he was gone. Never mind. I'm just not going to go any further, okay? I already got in trouble with Emily. I don't need to get in trouble with your wife, too. John chapter 3. Jesus Christ has someone come to him by night. Nicodemus. He is afraid what people might say. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3, verse 2. Back at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees, he's a religious leader, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He is a teacher and preacher of the gospel of the Jews. Not the true gospel, but it should have been. But he didn't know what it was. So follow with me. The same came to Jesus by night and said, "Master, how can these things be?" You'll notice Jesus explains to him about the new birth in verses 3 through 8 or 9. And in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be? I don't understand." I want you to understand this morning, I want you to see this morning, there are some simple things that people don't know this morning. And maybe you're one of them. But I want to draw your attention to the Bible so that when you go out of here this morning, you can say, "I do know a few things this morning that I got from Scripture." Number one, if you'll notice in verse number 16 of chapter 3, I want you to put your finger there, and we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. But we're going to come back to verse 16. It's probably the greatest, most famous verse in the Bible. "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world." Now, did you hear that? God did not send Jesus, his son, to condemn us all. In other words, if you refuse to trust Christ as Savior, you have no hope for heaven. But he didn't send his son to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Did you know that today, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're already condemned for hell? Did you know this, that we're born sinners? We're born with a sinful trait, and it came from Adam. And it was passed down through every man on earth to everyone that's been born. We're all sinners. That's the reason he said, if you do nothing, you're already condemned. So the default is that if you do nothing with Jesus, then you have to go to die and go to hell and pay for your own sin. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." And God the Father says, "I don't want that." Now, the first thing you have to understand is that everybody in this room that is not saved, has never trusted Christ as Savior, hasn't done the right thing with Jesus Christ, is on their way to hell. You have no hope for heaven. Already condemned. Notice the wording. And I don't know that we realized it was there. Verse 18, "He that believeth not is condemned already from the beginning." Now, God protects the little children in the nursery, but they're already sinners. And surely we all know that. When you have little children, you don't have to teach them to be mean to the other kid. You don't have to teach him to be mean. I remember Jeremy, we'd have to teach him to not throw his food all over the place. Anybody here ever had anybody do that? I mean, he would take his hand and we'd put him in the high chair and have a little tray on the top of it and put Cheerios on it. He'd take his hand and just clean the top of it. Why did he do that? Because of his mother, the flesh, the mother. No, it's me. The sin was passed down. I want what I want. I don't care. I just don't want that around. And so we throw it off. And then he'll cry and say, I want it now. I have to get back off the floor and put it back up there. No, I didn't do that. I just went and got another bowl and put it on there. And you know, if you're not careful, you have to teach him, because that's in their nature. Their nature is to just do the wrong things. We have to teach them otherwise. We're already condemned. Now, God protects them until they're the age of understanding. And that age could be 6, it could be 4, it could be 8 or 10. It depends on when people understand that they're sinners. They need to do something about it. If you were to ask most people, almost everybody, how do you get to heaven? The first thing he did not know was that he was condemned. He didn't know he was already well on his way to hell. He was a religious leader. He thought that counted for something. And Jesus shocked him when he said, you must be born again. What? How can these things be so? I don't understand. And most of the world is shocked when you say you must be born again. I don't have any idea what you're saying. Do you understand you're already on your way to hell? No, I'm not. My grandmother was a godly lady. And you know, my grandfather was a preacher. And you know, I'm not on my way to hell. No way. I try to do good. And so most people think there is a balance. And there's a set of scales. And so the more good things that I do that outweigh the bad things that I do, it's going to be by my skin of my chinny chin chin, but I think I'm going to make it. Everybody I talk to, that's what they think the way to get to heaven. Number one, he didn't know he was already guilty, already on his way to hell, already a sinner. And number two, he did not know how to get to heaven. He didn't know how to fix it. He did not realize that there was one coming to die for him. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have ever eternal life. You know what he's saying? He said, I've got to die. The Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man. And Nicodemus is trying to figure out, I don't understand, why do you have to die for me? Now, keep in mind, this is a guy that went to the temple and offered offerings, lambs and the blood of lambs, regularly. But he just didn't connect the dots that there was the perfect lamb coming. John the Baptist looked at Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of the world. He's the final piece. He's the last one to be offered. He's the one to pay all of our debts, past, present, and future. And Nicodemus says, I don't understand. I don't understand. Do you understand today that God says we're all condemned? The reason being is because there's only two places to go, heaven and hell. And you can't go to heaven unless you're sinless. And nobody in this room is sinless. You can be made sinless. And you might say, Pastor, how is that possible? Jesus Christ takes his blood and wipes away all of your sin. And you become perfect in God's sight. Well, what about the sins I commit after that? You're born again. You're born into God's family. And let me take just a minute. Let's see here. James, you have a son, don't you? A couple of them, don't you? About 6 of them, don't you? No, you have a couple of sons. Let me ask this question. If your son, when did he become your son? When he was born, okay? So you and your wife rejoiced when he came and he was born. And have any of your sons done anything wrong? Where did they get it from? Be careful. From you, yes. So my sons do wrong. Are they still your kids when they do wrong? What happens if he did something really bad? Would he still be your son? When I went to Memphis to be a youth pastor, didn't know what I was getting into. But a few weeks before I'd gotten there, one of the deacon's kids, taking a can of gasoline, was walking through the church to burn it down, pouring it. And they caught him. Now, your sons are nothing like that, but if they did, would they still be your children? They'd still be your kids. You still claim them. You know what? That is why when you're born again, God still claims you. He's not proud of us. We can do terrible things. He's not proud of us. But you're born into God's family. It's permanent. He's a better father to us than you and I are to our children. You might just disown a child. And I've known some of these folks in our church that have been disowned by their families. And God says, I will never do that. You're mine. Now, I'm not going to be proud of you. And so Nicodemus says, I don't understand. Why would God let me be born again and be permanently going to heaven? Because God loves you. Look at verse number 16. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He's got one son, and he gave his son to die for you, to pay your debt of sin. You see, Jesus Christ was perfect. He was born in a manger, had no sinful blood, because Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So his blood was perfect. So his blood could wash away our sin. And that's when the virgin birth is so important. I had a conversation with a man just recently that said, I did not realize that. You mean you're a religious leader and you don't know that? No, I don't. You don't know that God loves you? I want you to listen to this. Brother Scott, could you take that passage and come up here? And I want you to listen to this passage. Brother Joe, would you stand right up here and just be right behind him? I want you to listen to these two verses. I've asked these guys to read. Read this verse for me, good and loud.
Which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Okay, God says, I think more thoughts about you than can be numbered. I'm thinking about you today. You're important to me.
Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Amen. Do you know what that passage is right after? Listen to this. Close my Bible, wrong passage. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. God watched every one of us as we're growing in the womb. And in thy book, all my members were written when as yet there was none of them. Before you were born, I wrote down your 10 toes, your 10 fingers, your 2 eyes. And the next verse says, how precious are all thy thoughts unto me. You know what the Lord's saying? I loved you so much. I watched you as you grew in the womb. Won't be long. Dave Pittman's going to be born. Wow. I'm so excited. Won't be long. He's going to grow to be 1 year old, 2 years old. Won't be long. It's going to take a while. He's going to trust me as Savior. I can hardly wait. He's going to be my bought son. He's going to be born again. I can't wait. I watched him this morning go up there and sit down. I watched him stand up. Psalm 139. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou hast known my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know what? God is in desperate love with you. This is Valentine's Day. You are his Valentine. He loves you. Everybody in this room. You might say, well, I'm not going to heaven yet. I've not done anything with Jesus. He still loves you. For God so loved the world. Everybody here that's ever been born, he loves you. He paid the same price for you as he did me that's been born again. He loves you. That's the reason there's no difference between saint and sinner. In God's sight, he loves us all. But he's only paid for the sin of the saint. Because there's something has to happen before we can become saved. Because we're born again. Something has to happen. And this Nicodemus didn't have a clue as to how to get to heaven. He thought, it's a balance, and I got to do good, and I got to go to the temple, I got to offer offerings, and I've got to give tithes, and I've got to fast and pray, and I got to do all these things. If you read chapter 6, the Pharisees stood on the corner of the streets and said, I'm going to give my tithes and offerings to the Lord. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to bless me. Lord, I'm going to do this. And they wrote scripture on their forehead, and they put scripture on their clothes. And they said, look, I want to put scripture on the sleeves of their robes. And said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I'm doing everything I can. And God says, you're guilty. I don't think people know that. I don't think they understand that. Notice, if you would, God says, I love you. You're precious to me. I think one of the sad things about marriage is that we take it for granted. It's God's plan. But we begin to take each other for granted. Just like we can do to the Lord once He forgives us. The month of March, family month. All the messages are going to be on the home. Now, I want you to understand this. I am as happy today as I've ever been in my life. Because the Lord Jesus has done something for me in my heart that makes me supremely happy. I can't explain it. But I can tell you this. When Susan was here, I was supremely happy there. Because she was everything in this world to me. And I think it was because I watched my parents and her parents both break up. And we said, there's got to be something better than that. And they were both Christians. All four of them. Something's wrong. Month of March, I want to try to go through a little bit of it. Because you know what? One of my greatest desires would be that everybody in this room knows Christ as Savior. That's the first thing. That heaven is yours. Now, I can't give it to you, but you can receive it. I can tell you about it, but you have to come to Jesus Christ yourself and take it and be born again. And the second thing is, oh, Lord, please, would you make the homes in this room sweet like you intended it? But I can't make you do that either. You see, right is a choice. Wrong is a choice. And I'm afraid that we've just sort of settled and said, well, I guess this is the way it's supposed to be. And God says, no, I want you to walk with me. I've got plans for you. I didn't save you so that you could be unhappy in life. I saved you so that you and I could walk together. You read the book of Genesis chapter 2 and 3 where when he makes Adam, he comes in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. He sees Adam is lonely. He says, Adam, I want to make you a partner. And so Adam and Eve walk together in the cool of the evening and they talk together and they talk with the Lord. And I think he wants that same thing back again. He wants everybody in this room to walk with him. But you cannot walk with him until you're born into his family, until you become his child, until you get a new heart. Nicodemus did not understand that. He was going to church. He was going to church regularly, probably every day of the week. And I met with somebody last week that said, I got somebody that works for me that goes to church every morning. I think it's 7 o'clock. I knocked on a guy's door in Chicago and just started to talk to him about how wonderful the Lord is. He looked at me and said, look, he said, I don't know where you're from or who you're with or who you're representing, but I want you to know this. He said, I go to church. I go to church every morning and offer my candles and offer my prayers every morning. And I have for the last, I think it was 30-something years. And he said, if that's not good enough to get to heaven, I don't want to go. He didn't know chapter 3 of John. The way to get to heaven is already paid for. It happened at Calvary 2,000 years ago. When Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood, he looked up and said, "It is finished. The debt is paid for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him," and that's all you have to do. There's a point in time we have to come to him. Romans chapter 10 tells about it. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I'm embarrassed by my sin. Would you forgive me of my sin?" All of it, past, present, and future. It's all, "I'm embarrassed for all of it, Lord. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" And you believe that I died for you and I'll save you. He said, "I'll do it." And you're born into God's family. "For as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name," John 1:12. So everybody in this room can be a son or daughter of God that quick this morning. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how much money you have. We're going to go to Leyte, this island of Leyte, and there are going to be some people that don't have much. And one of my great joys on a mission trip would be able to look at everybody that ever comes to that church and say, "God loves you just like he does me. And he'll save you, and you don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid." Because we went to different places in Africa where I watched a wife and her children go out to a rock quarry and take rocks and beat them together to get a pile of rocks about this tall, about that big around, to make $1 for the day. And so I want to ask you, how much do you think it would be if God says, "Okay, I'm going to have everybody pay something that makes it worthwhile. How about $1,000 and you can go to heaven?" You know how many billions of people would be left out? If he said, "I'm going to make it a dollar a day," there are some countries where they need that dollar to eat. They're not putting in their 401k, don't even know what it is. They're not putting gas in their vehicle. They're trying to exist from day to day. And that dollar is milk, or that dollar is something to allow them to buy seed to plant for next year. They are desperate. There are people that couldn't put a nickel with another nickel together and said, "Lord, would two nickels buy salvation?" There was a little widow lady in Scripture, and she gave two mites to the Lord because she loved him. You know how much two mites are? 2/5 of a penny. If you cut a penny up 5 ways, she gave 2/2 of a penny. That's all she had. You know what? In this room, we're rich. But the rest of the world, most of the world, is not. And so God says, "I know that, and I'm going to save the rich, and I'm going to save the poor, and I'm going to pay the debt, and it's free to you." And people say, "I don't get that. I don't understand that. Why? How could God do that?" And our education and our thinking causes us to bypass the love of God. And here's this man here saying, "I don't understand." Notice verse number 9. Jesus said, "Art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things?" You don't know how to get to heaven? So this morning, I just want to remind you, Jesus died for you because God loves you. And God is looking in this room and he's seeing every one of you and he's thinking thoughts about you right now. He loves you. When you were dating, you were not yet married. I can guarantee you, if you were like me, whenever Susan came in the room, I was watching her. I mean, I'd sit over here and I'd watch her come in the room, and there'd be some times whenever, let's say, she sat in a certain class or in the youth group, and she sat over in this corner. Well, I'm not sitting over there. I'm going to sit right over here. And I might not sit in, if she sat on the second row here, I'm going to sit down in the front row so I can look at her real easy. Not necessarily catch her eye, but just watch her. Picture that. That's what God does for you. I don't understand it, but he's looking at me constantly. He watched when I sat down and when I stood up. He said, "Boy, I love Dave Pittman. Lord, you know me. How can you love me?" Because my love is blind. Today, God loves everybody in this room. And he said, "Salvation is free. I offer it to you. I asked my son to come to this world and pay the debt. He did 2,000 years ago. Write it on your check, 2019. that's based upon my son. He died for you. Will you accept it? Most people don't know they can accept the Lord. That's the reason I pass out tracts. That's the reason I talk to people, because I don't have time to tell everybody. But I don't want them not to know. That's the reason God says, I'm going to save you, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to save you, Michael. I'm going to save you, John. I'm going to save you, Rick. I'm going to save you, Brandon. And I'm going to ask you, I could take all the rocks in the world and say, it's Jesus that saves you. I could get all the birds to fly over and say, it's Jesus that saves you. But I'm not going to do it, because they don't know what it means to be saved. But you do. So I figure you'll be prouder of me, and you'll represent me well. Now take your Bible, if you would, and notice the last thing I want you to see, that this rich man, this man of the Pharisees didn't know. Look, if you would, in verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. This is John 3:21, that they are wrought in God. Now take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 5. And I'm going to explain that verse to you. Matthew 5. Nicodemus, do you understand that your works are wrought in God? Do you understand, Nicodemus, that now I'm asking you to work for me? Now I'm asking you to live right for me. Now I want you to listen very carefully. That is why I don't curse. Because I want the Lord to know I'm thankful he saved me. And I don't dare want anybody else to hear it and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of it. I don't tell dirty jokes. If I make a mistake, I always want to be able to look at somebody and say, I am sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Make it right. Nobody in here is perfect, but everybody can make it right. And he says, look, I want you to understand your works are wrought in me. Your works are for me. Once I save you, will you work for me? Now notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let the people of the world see you do what's right and say, wow, you have a great God. I'd like to know who he is. That is the plan of God. That is the love letter he gave from John chapter 3. And Nicodemus says, I don't understand it. And Jesus said, you don't know these things? You don't understand that that you're guilty already? You don't understand that I love you? You don't understand that I sent my son to pay your debt of sin, and that all you have to do is believe? Whosoever believeth on him shall be saved? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to take you to heaven with me. You'll miss hell. And it's just for the asking. You didn't know that? And once you've trusted me as Savior, and by the way, Nicodemus did get saved, sounds like, because he was at asking for the body of Jesus, wanting to take care of it. So we know that he had made a difference in things that happened in his life. Now, all of a sudden now, Nicodemus didn't understand, and once you're born into my family, I want you to live right. I want you to live different. You don't have to live different to stay saved. I'm going to give you eternal life. Now, let me see here. Where's a young child? Eternal life. Well, somebody that's a little. Mr. Dill, what grade are you in? Fourth? Fourth grade. What grade are you in? Oh, you're the same grade?
We're twins.
Oh, you're twins. Okay, I got that. All right. Do you know how long eternal life is?
Forever.
I got the same answer in duplicate. By two twins, forever. Is that hard to understand? A four-year-old can understand it. It's forever. It's like, Pastor, why are you asking, you didn't say this, but such a dumb question. Eternal life is forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I got it taken care of. Now, will you live for me? Will you represent me well? And so a lot of people say, well, what does that mean? Well, listen, you don't have to turn here, but I want to read to you some of the things in Matthew 5 that are right after when he says, look, would you do good work so men can see it and say, wow, you have a great God. Listen to this. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, I'm not happy with. Listen to this. Verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother. So if you say, oh Lord, this morning, the Holy Spirit touched your heart. Oh Lord, this morning, I just want to walk with you and I want to do what's right. And you get down here and start praying. The Lord says, okay, what about your sister that you are mad at? What about your husband that you yelled at this morning or your wife that you're bitter toward? Or your boss at work? Leave your gift at the altar. Leave your promises at the altar and go talk to them first. And then come back and tell me that you love me. Somebody, anybody in this room got something against somebody? He said, you got to go take care of that first. You see, God is a very practical God. He's a very jealous God. He says, I want you to love me most. Listen to this one. He says this. He said, let your communication be yea and nay and nay. Don't be waffling back and lie. Be truthful. As a Christian, tell the truth. Listen to this one. In verse number 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now you say, what in the world does that mean? Let me explain it to you. In this day, the Romans could ask anybody that they were over in their domain to help them carry their stuff. So a Roman soldier, like Brother Brian Airwood, he could walk in and say, okay, you carry my luggage. So you have to carry it. And the law was it had to go 1 mile. So those Jews hated the Romans. So they'd pick them up, Christians alike. They'd pick up those bags and they'd walk behind that Roman soldier. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 5,280, drop. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. And the Lord said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Do you get the point? Let everybody know you'll do anything for Jesus. I'll forgive you because of him. I'll do you right because of him, even if you do me wrong. Listen to the next one. He says this one. He said, and I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. That's pushing it. You mean I've got to forgive my enemies and I've got to be good to them when they're bad to me? When they're despitefully using you, you be good to them. But Lord, how do I do that? Well, let me just remind you. Who killed my son? You did. And he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. That's the attitude I want you to have. So if your husband or your wife doesn't treat you right, forgive them for Christ's sake. If your brother or your sister is mean to you, if your twin brother doesn't treat you right, forgive him for Christ's sake. I am reminded that he says, I want you to represent me well. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth today. Do you have any flavor? Does the world look at you and say, wow? Ever had any food that's tasteless? And you go reach for the salt and pepper shaker and you put it on there to make it taste good. You're it. You're what makes life worth living. You're the example to the world that Jesus is worth it. You know today, you are everything in the world to Jesus Christ. The Father loves you. He's watching you right where you are. And he says, look, Will you be light for me? Will you represent me around the world? And Nicodemus says, I don't get it. I don't understand that, Lord. Why do I have to do that? Nicodemus, you can never be saved until you understand that you have to come to me and ask me to forgive you. And whenever we repent of our sin and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, that humility of heart starts bleeding over into the way we live. And it changes us. The Spirit of God comes into our heart. And the next time you say those words, oh, that didn't taste right. I shouldn't do that again. The next time you think that thought, that thought didn't seem right. Lord, I'm sorry about that. And we begin to see our lives begin to clean up. That is what Nicodemus did not know. And Jesus God looked at him and said, are you a religious leader and don't know that? Now here you're today, you're in the Lord's house. And now you know that you can be going to heaven. But you also know if you've never trusted Christ as Savior on your way to hell, you're condemned already. And you know this morning that God loves you. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about you now. He's watching you as you sit where you sit. He's watching the thoughts that you think because he loves you. I can't tell you the number of times I was sitting there watching Susan. And I'm not going to tell you how old I was. I was a young man and I was watching Susan and I was thinking, I wonder what she's thinking. I wonder if she's thinking about me. Anybody ever had that thought? I wonder if she's thinking about me. I wonder if he's thinking about me. That only happens when you're in love. Because if you've been married for 15, 20 years, you're thinking about 401ks, your work, your this, your that. It's not about your mate. But that's not what God intended. Rick, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? 63. God's been watching Rick for 64 years, 63 years and 9 months. Billy, how old are you, if you don't mind? He had to go calculate. 54. The Lord's been watching you for 54 years and 9 months. Do you understand how special we are to the God of heaven? It's Valentine's Day. He's in love with you. One question. Do you love him? Do you think about him? Lord, I can't wait to go to church. Lord, I can't wait to read your word. Lord, I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Lord, could we just talk for a few minutes? That's why it broke God's heart when Adam and Eve did what they did, because God couldn't walk with them in the cool of the evening anymore. They disobeyed. And they didn't make it right for a while. Today, do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know that you're supposed to live right? Do you know? Nicodemus didn't, but you and I do. Let's bow for a prayer. Christian, do you know? Wife, do you know? Husband, do you know? Teenager, do you know that you're on your way to heaven? If not, why don't you come get it settled this morning? If there's never been a time when you sat at your kitchen table or knelt beside your bed or you came to the altar and you said, Lord Jesus, it's me. I need to trust you as Savior. I'm not on my way to heaven. I'm a sinner and I know it and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me of my sin? Today can be the day when everything changes. We're going to have a word of prayer, and maybe you're today and you've got something against somebody. Come to this altar and give it up. Just come to the altar and say, Lord, I give up that offense. I give that animosity up, that hatred up. Lord, help me to love people. Help me to love my mate. Help me to love my boss. Help me to love you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing page 319, Just As I Am. That's the way Jesus wants you to come. He just wants you to be real. Folks, the world is filled with hypocrites and Pharisees, not many saints that are in love with the Lord. But that could be every one of us in this room this morning by a simple prayer. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, won't you be a light? Won't you be salt? Why don't you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be a light for you. Help me to change into your image. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts this morning. In your name we pray.